are listening to the most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Hello?
Where the fuck you get off talking to people about me behind my back going over my head?
Who does it?
You said I'm bringing heat on you? I gotta listen to people because of your fucking shit? You're ordering me out? You better get your own fucking army, pal.
Who the fuck you talking to, motherfucker?
You know, I don't want to bring this up, but you've been treating a lot of people with a lot of disrespect, even your own wife.
Motherfucker, you don't know me.
You're fucking warned. Don't ever go over my fucking head again, you motherfucker, you.
You kiss my motherfucking ass, bitch.
Get this through your head, you Jew motherfucker, you. You only exist out here because of me.
You suck my motherfucking ass.
I'm what counts out here. Not your fucking country clubs or your fucking TV shows.
I'll kick your mammy motherfucking ass. You don't know me. You better go get the fuck back on the banana boat and kiss some motherfucking mighty ass. That's what you better do.
You're fucking warned. Don't ever go over my fucking head again.
Your head.
You motherfucker, you.
I'll knock your fucking head off your shoulder.
I think I want my money back.
Motherfucker.
You put my fucking money to sleep. You go get my money or I'll put your fucking brain to sleep.
I tell you what, motherfucker. Come on, put it. I tell you where the fuck I'm at. Come on, put it. You won't put no motherfucking body out to sleep.
You know I'm trying to put something really big together out here. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what the fuck.
If you're acting like this now, how can I depend on you?
Motherfuck you. Don't call my fucking house with no bullshit. You just fucked up.
For the most entertaining talk anywhere, stay tuned to LA Talk Radio, your real talk stage, your real 24 hours of commercial-free programming.
It's not every day that you have a former millionaire clean your house. It's a Madoff Maid's Day.
I got cleaned out in that jerk's Ponzi scheme, so now I'm here to clean your home.
Madoff Maids don't have 25 years of experience cleaning houses, but they do have years of experience watching their former maids clean their houses.
I think this is the way Consuela used to scrub the toilet. Oh no, the brush!
So if you get a kick out of watching the formerly rich wax a floor or wipe off soap scum, call Madoff Maids today. Relax. Thanks to Bernie, it's done.
Four careers are killed in a film shooting. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. The careers of four movie actors were cut down in their prime in one of the most tragic film shootings in recent history today. Agents and emergency PR workers brought to the scene were unable to resuscitate the unlucky cast's livelihood. Entertainment insider Nancy Emmer says the actors were simply at the wrong movie set at the wrong time.
Things usually aren't like this on a safe romantic comedy set.
Experts are saying the disaster, terrible as it was, fell far short of the tragic 2004 Catwoman bombing, which wreaked destruction on hundreds of actors, producers, and viewers. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News, online at theonion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today we salute you, Mr. Middle of Winter Global Warming Advocate.
Mr. Middle of the Winter Global Warming Advocate.
For years you've warned us about man-made global warming and gotten national exposure. Now the nation is being exposed to blinding blizzards and record low temperatures.
Carbon footprints in the snow.
The heck with ice caps. I need to melt my sidewalk. So the next time you see some expert pontificating about a warmer planet while shivering and wiping the frozen snot from his mustache, don't laugh, but lend a snow shovel to Mr. Middle of Winter Global Warming Advocate, a real American hero.
Mr. Middle of the Winter Global Warming Advocate.
I'd give you a lift to somewhere warm, but I only have a gas-guzzling SUV. Sorry.
From high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday, January 29th. And Susie is in Peru this morning and sitting in without a vagina is Johnny Dam.
Well, I've got a vagina. It's just it's at home on my wife right now.
You left it home.
Yes, I did. And I hope you're not listening here.
Well, thank you for being here. And of course, TJ McCormick is going to be here any minute as well. So we should have a little party fest here.
Well, let's try and have fun before he gets here.
Okay, we'll do that.
Republicans. No, I love you, TJ.
Yeah. You know that we're coming up on 1 year for the station.
February 4th.
February 4th, man.
Yes, that's also the birthday of one of my co-hosts, one of my 75 co-hosts.
Yeah, you do have quite a few.
Yes, I do. I've got a stable. I've got a plethora. Yeah, Cricket will be turning, I believe, 38.
Really?
Yeah, I outed you. Oh. Deal with it. Work it out in therapy. Put in pants.
Yeah. So who are your co-hosts now?
Okay, I currently have, on Mondays, political cartoonist MJ Offen.
Mm-hmm.
Then on Tuesdays and Thursdays, it's Cricket Lee. Wednesdays, it's Pogo Saito. Uh-huh. And on Fridays, it's Jody Miller. And I'm not nailing any of them.
Wow. Yeah. You're like...
not a one of them.
You have a little... yeah. Wow, that's funny. So... Well, that's cool. So tell people what it is you talk about on your show and stuff. We might as well plug this shit out.
Well, the Damage Report, it's Monday through Friday, 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, social, political commentary, and satire. Mm-hmm. And occasionally when a queen comes on, they just try to overthrow the show. That's what happened yesterday.
Yeah, you had a queen here.
Yeah, never. I got nothing against same-sex people. That's fine with me. But really, the drama. Look at me. Pay attention to me or I'll cut your spaghetti straps.
I know. Well, I don't know what it is about them, but they do want a lot of attention.
Yes.
But then, again, a lot of people do. So Susie went to Machu Picchu. Have you been there yet?
No, I have not. I just learned to spell it yesterday.
I don't know many people who have, you know. But she just flew 15 hours to climb a fucking mountain. So
really?
Yeah, so you explained that to me.
They got those in the Rockies. She could have flown three.
Yeah. Although Machu Picchu is pretty beautiful there, you know, but...
Isn't that where the Mayans kind of disappeared?
Somewhere along there, yeah.
Yes, yeah. When they finished their calendar at 2012 and said, we're going to take a break. They went to take a break, and when they came back, the conquistadors had arrived, and, well, no more work on the calendar.
Yeah. So what's the thing with 2012? Do you believe any of this bullshit?
Yeah, just about as much as I believed in 1984.
Yeah,
the Y2K Y-Lube thing. Yeah, that was fun. I actually had a friend who sold his car, bought a white windowless van, property in the desert, and went out there. This is when I had a day job, and he went out there in the desert for the New Year's, thinking when he woke up the day after civilization was going to be, you know, crushed as we knew it. He came back to work the very next day that we came back to work, and as much as I wanted to rib him, he came back to work. He knew what he had to face when he got back to work.
People are fucking nuts, man.
Yeah, but that's what keeps people like you and I in business.
Yeah. So what have you been talking about these days on your show?
Well, I've been talking about the bailouts. Here's my opinion on the bailouts.
Uh-huh.
With all this money, it's going to cost us over $1 trillion.
Right.
And what they're going to do is they're going to buy all this bad paper and get these companies out of debt and everything else. What they should have done was given us all that money under the condition that we pay off all of our debts.
Mm.
And if they'd given us, the people, that money, if we had paid off all of our debts, there'd be no more bad paper.
Right.
Nobody would be in debt. The same amount of money would have been spent, but the companies would be solvent, and the consumers could begin with a clean slate of just buying up all that crap that they don't need anymore.
Yeah.
But seriously, they could have wiped out everything for everybody if they'd done it that way.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
If you'd given me the money I needed to pay off my credit cards and my student loans.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm not paying the student loans.
Then you charge them up again.
Well, it's like, okay, folks, we got a clean slate. If you can't be trusted a second time, you're on your own.
Yeah.
But all those companies with the bad paper would no longer have bad paper because people would have paid off all of their debts.
That's true. That makes fucking sense.
So everything.
Man.
So we're out of debt. They're out of debt. Clean slate.
Right.
But no, we can't do that.
Yeah. The only question is if people got that money, would they really use it to pay off their debt? You know, I don't know.
Well, here's the thing. You tell them, okay, send us all your statements. And then we will cut checks to all those people for your bills. Then don't give us the money. We clearly can't be trusted, folks. Look what happened.
Yeah.
So, I mean, really, I can't be trusted with $5 in my pocket if I walk past a McDonald's.
Yeah. Do you think anything's going to change now with Obama?
Do I think anything's going to change? I think he's trying to change. He's changed the face of lobbying already. Uh-huh. He's actually told the GOP, the Grand Oil Party, I won. You know, we're not the pussy Democrats anymore that go, oh, we're sorry we said that.
Yeah.
No, we're the ones saying, shut the hell up. We're going to get some work done. He's granted an interview to that Middle Eastern television station.
Yes, yes.
He's put
why,
Hillary.
Why did he choose that one as the first interview on TV?
Because we already know. He doesn't have to interview for us. We know who he is. We know what he is.
Right.
They don't.
I see.
And
okay.
It's his way of saying, look, you know, things are going to change.
Right.
Things are definitely going to change. I think that he's trying to get some stuff done. There's people are going to stand up and say, no, not on my watch. You know, oh, that's all socialism. Really? Our public schools are a socialist regime. Our police departments, our fire departments, all socialist regimes. Medi-Cal, Medicare, socialist regime.
Right.
Don't tell me this shit. There's really let me tell you something. Communism collapsed Russia. Capitalism has collapsed the world.
Mm-hmm.
Socialism has never collapsed anything.
Yeah.
Not that put another name on it if you don't like the word socialism because it reeks of French. I don't care.
Yeah.
Put another name. Call it Shirley. I don't care.
Well, but the government does have to jump in sometimes. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, so you're going to have something that looks like socialism.
Yeah.
But remember, socialism is a lot more involved than this. You know, I mean, it's like ruled by the few, which, you know, we don't really have. I mean, it's different. It's different. But as far as socialism, you know, I mean, that's more an economic way of doing things. And, you know, people just, you get a lot of lazy people in socialism, you know.
We got people lazy people already.
No, I know. But then it's like, you know, they can get as much as you do without putting in as much work, you know. And that's why it doesn't work.
This comes back to a statement that you've made before when we talk about the unions. It doesn't matter how much you're making.
Right.
I shouldn't care about how much you're making.
Right.
When I'm trying to negotiate my salary. Here's the thing. Maybe we need to get off of the me, what's in it for me, and more of what's in it for us
a
scenario.
Right.
There's got to be a happy medium somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just got... I mean, we've seen what greed has done to us. Look around us. You know, one guy has destroyed millions of hundreds of institutions.
Yeah.
You know, Madoff has destroyed philanthropy for a lot of institutions because they invested the money that they used to do good things.
Right.
For, you know, and where is he at right now? He's not in Rikers Island. He's in a $7 million New York penthouse.
That's really?
He's under arrest, house arrest in his penthouse. Yeah, it's the middle of winter in New York. I could do 7 months in a penthouse in New York as well.
Yeah.
No problem. Xbox, I'm good to go.
Yeah.
But we've had just retirement funds decimated, literally decimated. They haven't been cut in half. They've been cut down to 25% of what they were, all because of this crappy subprime mortgage paper.
Right.
I mean, we got fisted by the mortgage companies.
Yeah.
What's the difference between an Amway salesman and a mortgage broker?
Mm-hmm.
When an Amway salesman signs up three people, they don't lose their homes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm pissed. You tell?
Yeah, well, no, I know. That's why we give you the forum here in case you don't have enough during your 2 hours in the afternoon.
I thought we were going to talk about sex today.
Yeah, we can. So what do you want to talk about sex about?
I'm not getting any, and I need to. No, my wife and I keep promising.
Can't help you.
No, we keep promising. We're like two ships passing in the hallway right now.
Yeah, I know. I told my wife yesterday, I said, we're like fucking roommates, you know? It's just we're so fucking busy, you know? Which leads to the author today that we're going to call in a few minutes. He happens to be in Guam, believe it or not. And he wrote a book called Power of Less. And I think that's going to show us how to slow down a little bit. And I think we need that. You know,
well, if you,
we do too much shit.
We do. I was actually perusing the book.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell you, genius marketing. It's a small book, folks. You can actually read it. You're not going to get inundated with stuff. And The Power of Less by Leo Babata.
About
well, that. Okay, yeah. He's in Guam.
Yeah.
He's starting off right.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, he has the life. So
nice and mellow.
We'll ask him all about that. Yeah, wouldn't you love to be there writing books and shit, you know, in the sun? And
oh, yeah. I'm a tropical guy. Don't ask me to go to Aspen. Ask me to go to the Caribbean.
Yeah. You like that, huh?
Well, nobody puts their money in banks in Colorado. They put their money in banks in Cayman. Why? Because that's where you want to go visit it.
Yeah. What's your favorite place that you've been to?
My favorite place that I've been to, considering I've traveled a lot of the world, I've only vacationed once.
Really?
Yeah. I've only been on vacation once in my entire adult life, and that was in Kauai, Hawaii. But that's not my favorite place in the world.
Kauai is beautiful.
It is. That's not a single freeway on that entire island. Folks, if you want to experience Hawaii at its purest, as pure as it can be, go to
the without the tourists and shit.
Go to the small island. I mean, there's still tourists there, but these are people that are like, laid back.
Yeah, it's not like Waikiki and shit, you know.
Yeah, when you go on vacation, you don't need a friggin' nightclub.
No.
You don't. Yeah,
some people do, but not us. We're old farts, you know. We just need to sit back and relax.
That's the place to go. That is the place. I would say my favorite place that I've been to so far, that my happy place. Wow, that's a tough one. That really is. I'm probably going to have to go.
Have you been to other tropical places?
No. When you do military tours, you get shit like Iraq and Afghanistan, and they're not really that. They're not my happy place.
Yeah,
they are not the happy place. I would have to say, actually, kayaking up a river in Kauai was very, very relaxing. So I'm going to say the waterfalls that I went to in Kauai were probably that's where I want to take my wife.
Yeah.
And I'll bring her back this time.
Have you been on cruises before?
No.
You should go on a cruise. I mean, TJ will tell us all about it and stuff, right? TJ just walked in, so he's trying to fix his headphones here that people are fucking up for us. Yeah. But
Good morning.
But let me tell you about cruises, man. If you take one in the Caribbean, that's awesome. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and, just don't go to Jamaica.
Know. No, fuck Jamaica, man.
Jamaica's a shitbox.
I went there for my first honeymoon, and forget about that, you know? All the poverty and shit. But you go to St. Thomas, St. John,
Saint
these
Martin.
Places, yes, beautiful there.
I mean, they're all nasty at night, and they all have their nasty neighborhoods. They all have their lousy parts. You don't want to wander too far from the ships, but... Jamaica, it's just vile. It really is.
You know,
disgusting.
And you look at the pictures, and it looks great and stuff, you know. But you have to go through all that poverty to get to your resort, you know. And it's just not what you want to see when you go on vacation.
Well, see, here's the thing for me and cruises. I've never been on one, but it's like, well, you get a couple hours in this port. Hmm. Well, what if I like that town?
What if go I, back later.
Can you offload my bags and put them on the next boat when it comes by the next time? I mean, seriously, it's almost like being almost for me, a vacation is not to be regimented. I don't have itineraries when I go on vacation. I've only been on one, but it was I had a hotel and a flight. Those are the only two places I had to be at a certain time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
After that, I did whatever I wanted. I didn't say, well, we have to 12:15. We got to do this. We got to go that. The boat. I'd love to try a cruise. I think I'll go in easy, like a 3-dayer to
Mexico.
Yeah,
or something.
To Mexico.
Yeah.
And then if I don't like it, I can just get off the boat and grab a cab ride from Ensenada up to the border.
Yeah, you can literally get out like that, exactly. Or you know what actually is a nice one is Alaska. That's a gorgeous
cruise.
Isn't
that the old folks cruise?
Oh, yeah, that would be nice.
No, used to be. Matter of fact, I never worked on Alaska cruises.
Sponsored by Depends.
Listen, they literally take extra, they load up. It's funny, I've seen it in the port, where they load up on extra stuff for the morgue. Every ship has a morgue.
Oh, really?
And they will load up on an extra, they'll take an extra body bag or two, extra thing here and there. That was the old days on the Alaska cruises, because that's where the old people went. But as cruising got bigger and bigger and bigger, and everybody was cruising more, that just meant that more of the regular demographic hadn't been to Alaska yet.
Yeah.
And it really is a very family-friendly thing, especially in this day and age of green and easy living.
That's my wife's radio show.
The environment and all that. And plus nature. I mean, there are a few things cooler than watching, you know, a 7-year-old catching a glimpse of a whale or a grizzly bear or you know, Shamu swimming in the ocean in its natural habitat.
Yeah.
So Alaska actually is awesome because there's not too many stops and it's just
wall-to-wall
nature.
Yeah.
It's
I would love to do an Alaskan cruise. I just had to wait for my AARP card. Yeah. What I thought. But I understand from the Lido deck you can actually see Russia.
Actually, you know, really, it is very relaxing. Actually, if you think about it, if I was to take a cruise, I'd want to take the geriatric cruise.
Yeah,
because I don't need goddamn spring breakers and the fucking.
Yeah, I don't
want to
do that either.
It's a lot of shit. Honestly, go with a bunch of old people. You know what? And can, you know, there's something to be said about shuffleboard at 6. You know what I mean? There's something to be said about that. About drinks at 5. That's
yeah. Well,
nice.
Here's the thing: you're sitting there go, the shrimp smells bad. No, that's just Bob.
That's Larry. Yeah.
So TJ, how you doing this morning?
I'm well. Good morning.
You
guys.
Went to
nice
church.
To see you. Yeah, I went to church. Well, I try to be more than just the, you know, the twice a year Catholic. And oh, I might go every Sunday, but for the big events, like in the first trimester of the pregnancy, I was there every morning. Yeah. And now these last weeks, I try to be there every morning, just to just make a little sacrifice and just keep myself.
Just in case there is God.
Just to get, yeah, you know, just, you know, in case all those articles are correct, in case that book is right. You know, I want to make sure.
You
want
to do it right.
See, here's what I found to be the biggest paradox is, yeah, there's places that are haunted by dead priests. What's the deal? I mean, you know, if we were to be able to mic them, would they be going, what the fuck?
So I was there this morning, and
so what do you do there? I mean, do you pray? Do
you
they
kneel? You stand?
Sells insurance?
Yeah.
You don't kneel, do you?
I kneel.
I thought only Muslims do that.
All right.
The gloves are off. The gloves are off.
I don't get on and face Mecca like those animals. No. Kneel, stand. It was nice. You know, it's just me and a few old people. And, you know, they all know that I'm there, you know, an expectant father. So the old people are all, you know, asking questions. Although this morning is real downer, broad.
Yeah.
She's been Miss Know-It-All for the whole time because her husband, I think, God rest his soul, I think he's dead. This old lady, her husband's was an obstetrician. You know, back in the days when, you know, they'd stick like a wood plank in there to help ease the baby out. I don't know, the olden days, you know, knock her out with a handkerchief of ether and get the baby out.
Ask for it by name.
Exactly.
Folks.
Anyway, so I'm in the back in the vestibule there talking to the priest, and he's asking how Andy's doing. And the old lady comes up and says, so, you know, I said, well, I said, the baby is 9 pounds, 7 ounces now, which is true. So almost 10 pounds.
Right.
And I said, so we're planning on a scheduled cesarean is what we're going to do.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
Why are you happy about
that?
Do not
wreck the vacation home.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying.
No exploding vaginas. And so she looks and she goes, why would she want to do that? Well, again, as a generational thing, she comes from the olden days. You know, she'd hold up a gas lamp so her husband could deliver the baby. And I'm like, you fucking old bag. I'm here for some goddamn, you know, spiritual. I'm talking to her. I wanted to say, I'm talking to the priest. Uh-huh. Take your wrinkled ass outside. So, you know, so she goes, why? And I said, well, it's a big baby. The doctor knows my wife. And he knows, and plus, he had done surgery on her a couple of years ago. He'd like to take the opportunity. See, it's nice. Andy had some woman surgery a couple of years ago to actually facilitate us getting pregnant. She had some, what do they call it, endometriosis, you know, whatever, some woman stuff. And so this guy who's a brilliant knife man, the other day he said, you know, part two of this, he goes, two birds, one stone. I'd love to be able to make sure after we take the baby out, check for scar tissue, make sure there's no other endometriosis, other thing. Right. So you're ready to go for the
change
next one.
Change a few microchips.
Yeah, exactly. Interchange, get them out, you know, like that. And so, which I like that idea too, because I mean, that to do exploratories, or if she started having pain again and they had to go back in, that'd have been another massive bang on the insurance and all the other stuff that insurance doesn't cover.
And on her.
Yeah, look at me. Thank you, Johnny. Yes, and on my wife for having to go in for more surgery. Jesus Christ.
The insurance, the money.
I'm going right to the fucking wallet. Fuck me. Fuck me sideways. What an awful human being I am. What an awful fucking man I am. No. You know what? Well, that was a blessing then, because you know what? That was a great eye-opener. Yeah, fuck the money. I don't want my wife to have another surgery just to see her. So anyway, so that's what we're doing. Yeah, and,
it's too fucking complicated. Man,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So we're doing it. I like this too, by the way. So it's either Monday or Tuesday next week. We're going to get it nailed down today.
You get to choose the birthday.
That's it. And that's my doctor's one, her doctor's one God complex is that it was because my Andy's birthday is next Tuesday.
Oh.
And that's the due date, February 3rd.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, and she mentioned that, and he goes, oh, wait, that's right. He said, I like everybody to have their own birthday, which is his
true
God complex. He can practically determine that in situations like this.
Yeah.
And so his daughter is February 2nd. My father is February 2nd. So, but anyway, so I like it because we show up. They do. They're at the Beverly Center. And Jerry's delivers. Jerry's Deli delivers to the fucking maternity ward. It really does.
So February 2nd is the date.
It looks like it's February 2nd.
You couldn't shoot for the 4th to coincide with the... Because you can still come in and do a show. She doesn't need you after the baby.
Yeah, board. Right.
That's our 1 year anniversary.
Oh, that's our 1 year anniversary. February 4th. Yeah. That's right. Last
but,
year.
But not so much that, but the fact is, I think she should have her own day, you know? So maybe the 4th, because you said some people have the 2nd. Mm,
yeah.
And your wife has the
3rd. Well, he tends to do his hospital stuff on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Oh, fuck his golf game.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah,
yeah.
Right?
The fuck this with guy, that? It's your baby.
And boy, I tell you what, this guy is the doctor. He is his wall. I mean, just tons of famous people. Julia Roberts. This guy delivers his girls and all these Hollywood liberals. He delivers their little pink.
Hey!
Just kidding. Yeah. Anyway, so
I'm
yeah,
not
so
the one wearing a blue blazer.
So we're doing that, and we're doing that, and I like it because we literally check in at 2:30. Mm-hmm. Surgery's at like 5. Baby out, you know, wheels up at 5:30, you know.
Morning or evening?
Afternoon. 2:30 in the afternoon, 5 o'clock in the evening.
You can still get the chicken soup delivered?
Kaboom, kaboom. That's it. Yeah, chicken soup from Jerry's.
Yeah. I don't know. Call me old-fashioned.
Old-fashioned?
You know, but the thing is, if you don't have to have cesarean, I think you should just have it the natural way, no?
Yeah. Well, it would be nice.
I mean,
nice.
They say it's less stress for the baby, though, right?
And the
fuck
mom
the baby.
And
the baby's got years to work that out in therapy. You think that's stressful way the kid gets to school?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, find out that one earlobe's just a quarter inch bigger than the other. Never hear the end of that shit.
It's awful.
Besides, like I said, you don't want to ruin your vacation home.
True. Yeah, you don't want to. Yes,
that's true. That makes sense. But you know what? I didn't see that actually happens. You know, I guess it depends on the woman and stuff.
Well,
know?
Technically, but, and more to the point, women don't let us near it for at least 6-7 months anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of off limits.
Well, yeah, I got to tell you, though, and I told you, if you're in the delivery room, try not to look too much.
Yeah, I'm not going to.
Because it's going to stick in your mind for the rest of your life.
Andrea doesn't want me to.
I looked.
Yeah?
Johnny
yeah,
looked. I looked directly into the light. It was not good.
It's so unsexual when you look at it.
Yeah.
Then you know when it opens up so big and shit and doesn't even look like pussy. And then you know, and then later it's like I don't know about that. You know. Mm.
Well, my last wife, the last wife of mine that I've had 4 folks.
Girlfriend that this morning. I told her, I said, you know, it all changes after this.
And it's like instantly, you know. I mean, my sister-in-law had a baby a couple weeks ago.
Oh, she finally had the baby?
Yeah, yeah, Lulu had the baby.
Five
Lulu.
Fingers, five toes?
Yes.
Awesome. Good to hear. That's odd for a hunting dog, but okay.
So she had a little girl, and let me tell you, I mean, this woman is about to collapse. They've not been getting any sleep for days, you know, and it's just like, you can't go on like this.
NyQuil.
Yeah.
Yeah, give the baby NyQuil.
Give her NyQuil. Let the baby scream.
But let me tell you, when both parents are involved in stuff, it does help quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's take a phone call real quick.
By all means.
Okay. Good morning. You're on the air with, we've got TJ, Johnny, and Sam.
Sam, it's Andy.
Oh!
Your mouth needs washing out with fairy liquid.
Oh hey, God. Andrea.
I just heard the whole family listening.
Oh, my God. Well, how am I supposed to know that, Andrea?
He doesn't know.
More importantly, why should we care?
No, not only that, but your husband does use some words in his show as
well. Yeah.
So it's not fair.
So you're gross.
Oh, stop that. Hey.
Why? Because I said...
Secondly, I just got a call from the doctor, and guess what?
What?
We're going to have it earlier on Monday at 12:30.
12:30. Oh, honey, we can't. I got to do my show.
When I heard it was Andy, I thought she was calling to say, I'm crowning. Hurry home.
Queen is crowning.
No, unfortunately.
Well, first of all, honey, by the way, you've used worse language than Sam, just so you know.
I just used the slang for...
Mom and Dad.
The only thing,
I'm not going to apologize personally.
No, but the only thing I said was the slang word for coochie.
Okay, coochie
for JJ.
I apologize if I offended anyone, but that's the kind of show we have.
I love Sam. Sam's got the gentle eyes. He's lovely. My nice Israeli friend. Oh yeah, listen to the show. Listen to, and then I was like,
there you go. That's you know what? You just gave Sam more fuel for his fire because that's exactly what he loves.
But I really don't get this because you listen to your husband, and I mean, you come in here sometimes.
But he's not vulgar.
Oh, Andy, she's just. Andy, come on now.
Yeah, she's vulgar. She's joking, though.
She's
right?
joking with the vulgar. Come on.
Yeah, Andy, you're making me feel bad.
Don't make Sam feel bad.
Why? Because it's my parts that you're discussing, you people. We're not talking. You can discuss everybody else's, but not mine.
Well, we are speaking.
I talked about my ex-wife.
Yeah, I was talking about my ex too.
Yeah, we were talking about.
We did not refer to you.
Go for it.
We would never. But we would never look, we would never talk about TJ's wife's private parts.
No.
Not on the radio.
Not at all. Not on the radio. Please. No, yeah. but as soon as we go off.
Not until the damage report from 2 to 4
p.m.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, not until 2.
Exactly.
great show, and just letting you know, we're having a baby on Monday, February 2nd at 12:30.
Okay, tune in then.
Huh?
I was like, tune in then? How ridiculous is this, fellas? Is this amazing? It's like Monday at 2:30, we're going to have a baby.
It is.
You need to call into my show right after the baby's born.
If you want, I'll call in during if you want.
Oh, please do.
Well, actually, I can't do it during because it's actually a pretty quick process. But yeah, I'll call in right after. I'll call in from the recovery room. That'll
be fun. I want to make sure everything's okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And then make fun of her vajayjay.
Which actually hopefully won't need any making fun of because it'll be a cesarean and her vajayjay will be actually...
Oh, it's still going to have police tape across. Do not enter for a while.
All right, Andy.
I love you, sweetheart. I'll see you in a little bit. Thanks for the good news.
Have a great show, guys.
Take care, Andy.
Well, we can't have a great show now that you ruined it all.
Pussy. That's okay. She's just sensitive.
See you next Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a good sport. She's just looking to mix it up a little bit.
I don't know what she's doing. You have married a buggy station.
I'm married up. My wife is one of those girls. She walks into a room, you hear a choir.
Yeah, she's a
doll.
And
then you see this little organ monkey walking behind her with a cup.
That would be me.
Okay. But you know, I would never disrespect your wife.
Of course. Oh, she was just
by talking about
she's
her
just busting stones.
So. Although I didn't know she's listening. And besides, you're right, Johnny. We can't apologize.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, we got to call our author real quick, and I don't want to keep them waiting because we're already late. The book is called Power of Less.
Well, story of TJ's life. The power of less.
Power of my checking account.
The power of less. How TJ got his wife pregnant.
Hello?
Good morning, Leo Babata, is it?
Babota,
I'm sorry. Good morning. This is
About
Sam
time.
Calling from LA Talk Radio. We've got TJ and Johnny in the studio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great.
Great.
Thanks for calling me.
I understand that we're calling you in Guam. Is that correct?
Yeah, Guam. It's about 3:30 in the morning right now.
3:30 in the morning, you're doing interviews, my God.
Whatever happened to less is more.
The power of less sleep.
Yeah. So we're calling you, obviously, about... I'm sorry?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
I said we're calling you about your book, obviously, Power of Less, The Fine Art of Limiting Yourself to the Essential in Business and in Life. What is the Power of Less? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, the power of less is about doing less but accomplishing more by focusing on the essentials.
Right.
I like
about
that.
Eliminating clutter in our lives to make room for what's important.
Okay. So are we talking clutter in the physical way or clutter as far as things that we do, things that happen to us?
Well, actually both. The book focuses more on the clutter of what we do in our lives, but it also talks about physical clutter. In your workspace and at your home.
Right. So what's clutter in our lives? What do you refer to?
Well, clutter is, well, basically I think most of us are very busy. We answer a lot of emails and phone calls and have a lot of meetings and do a lot of tasks. But at the end of the day, we don't have a lot to show for it. And so what I think of as clutter is all the busy work that we have to do.
Right.
Rather than the important stuff.
Right.
And so I talk about focusing on those essentials and trying to get rid of all the non-essential stuff so that you can really make room for doing the important tasks.
Right. But so, I mean, what do you do? You have the life, I think, is made of a lot of fires you have to put out and stuff, you know, sometimes small and that. How do we clutter our lives? I mean, what are things that we can cut out?
Well, it really depends on the person. But what I tell people to do is make a long list of all the things that you've committed to doing in your life, whether it's work projects, you know, meetings, being on committees, hobbies, different personal types of commitments, going to different things. And so make a long list of all those commitments and then focus, and then find the four or five most important things in your life. That's what I call the short list. And so you take from that long list just the four or five most important things. And to give you an example, for myself, that's spending time with my family, writing, reading, and running. And so what I've done is I've eliminated as much as possible of the rest of the things that were in my life, the clutter, to make room for those things. And so that I've built my life around those important things. But for each person, that would be different.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it makes sense. I never really thought about it. It seems like I don't have any priorities to anything. Everything is just like one, you know, lump there.
One big Chinese fire drill is what it is nowadays. It really is.
Yeah. But, I mean,
I think a lot of people are like that.
Yeah. Would you say, I mean, we're obviously probably the busiest society ever, would you say?
Yes, I think we're busier now than we've ever been in our history. And so what I propose is to set limits and to simplify so that we can get back to focusing on what's really important.
Right.
Try and get away from that busyness that kind of has pervaded all of our lives. Today in this society.
Right. So so you talk about productivity also. You have the six principles of simple productivity. Can you discuss this briefly?
Well, these are the principles that the book is based on, and I apply them throughout the book. But basically, the first thing is setting limits. And so setting limits is when you set limits on yourself on whatever you do, whether it's how many goals you have, how many tasks you do, how many emails you answer. When you set those limits, you force yourself to choose.
That's true.
And so that's the first principle. The second principle is choosing the essential. And so you don't just choose anything. You have to choose the things that are most important. And then you simplify from there by eliminating the non-essential. And then you focus is another essential principle. Creating new habits. And starting small. And so those are the principles.
Right. It makes sense and stuff. And I guess you'd have to work at all of this. Now, my question is, what do you do about, people that are busy with work all the time? I mean, is there a way to do something about that?
I talk about limiting yourself to just the essential tasks at work. Let's say you start out your workday and you have a long list of things you need to do. I say focus on the three most important tasks. These are three things that are really important that are going to really make a big impact on your work and your business, and that are going to you're going to feel like you did something by the end, if you did these three things by the end of the day.
Right.
So focus on those three things, and then if you do those three things, you've really done a lot, and you can probably get them done by halfway through your day.
Right.
And
right.
That way you've accomplished a lot just in half a day.
Yeah.
And you can by eliminate a lot of the non-essential tasks and make, room in your life for more important things.
Right. So this says that with your book, people can follow your advice to learn to live with less, get in shape and lose weight, streamline your inbox. I think that's one thing I need to do. Manage your free time and declutter your desk once and for all. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. God Almighty, you got to get rid of that clutter. The physical clutter, because I think it's human nature to see, literally, just to put it on a very base level here, you see a pile of clutter. You see a pile of papers. You see and right away, that makes your task that much more insurmountable. You know what I mean?
You avoid it.
Yeah, and you avoid it. And you avoid it because the other human nature kicks in and says, I don't want to climb that mountain. I can't do it.
Right.
Yeah, I just finally cleared my desk.
Go ahead, Leo.
I definitely think of clutter as procrastination. I mean, clutter is you didn't put something back where it belongs, and so you kind of pile these things up, and you procrastinate on it. And so I think it's a natural tendency, but we can overcome it by tackling that pile of clutter.
Leo.
And making decisions one at a time.
Leo, do you believe in the 1 year rule, where if you haven't used or touched or needed something for a year, that you either put it in storage or throw it away? Ideally, throw it away, donate it, whatever.
Definitely, I think a lot of times we hold on to things for for, you know, we, in case we might need it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you haven't used it in a year, you probably aren't going to need it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I definitely recommend getting rid of it.
Right. Okay. And one way is to move to Guam, right?
Well, no, that doesn't solve all your problems. You still have to deal with those things.
But it's a great place to solve your problems from.
Sure. When did you move to Guam? I mean, did you grow up there or did you move?
Actually, my family's from Guam. I was born in Oregon, but I've lived in the Bay Area in California, also in Seattle. I've lived most of my life here on Guam. I went to school here, grew up here, and it's home for me. So
nice,
it's a great place.
Yeah, and how often do you visit the mainland?
Not often enough. Let's see. I was in Hawaii just in December. I ran a marathon there in December. But the last time I was in the mainland, I don't know, maybe a few years ago.
Oh, so, okay. Well, obviously you have everything.
I really like the Bay Area. It's my favorite place in the world.
Yeah, so. Obviously in Seattle, nice too. You sure picked beautiful nice places. Yes, yes. Well, Leo, thank you so much. I mean, I'm definitely going to finish the book because I need to organize my life quite a bit. You know, I'm doing way too many things, and I don't have a life, period.
Yeah, it would have been better if he made the book less than 400 pages. No, I'm kidding.
How long did it take you to write a book like this, Leo?
About 3 hours. No, I'm kidding.
He did it while running a triathlon. Mr. Efficiency over here.
Yeah.
Now you're making me look bad.
No, it took me a few months. It took me about 4 or 5 months to write it, but you know, I was also writing my blog at the same time, Zen Habits. So, yeah, it's hard to write a book and have another full-time job at the same time.
Yeah.
So I was able to do it.
So you have a blog. Why don't you go ahead and plug your blog so people can go and read it?
Well, Zen Habits, it's zenhabits.net.
Uh-huh.
It's actually one of the top 100 blogs in the world. And it has almost 2 million visitors a month. And right now it has about 88,000 subscribers.
Wow, that's amazing.
And it's about simple productivity.
And you started all this yourself?
Yeah, I started it basically with no money, no connections in blogging. I just tried to put out as useful content as possible, and it grew really quickly. So I feel really grateful to be able to do that. I'm now a full-time blogger.
Yeah, I'm sure, and with a million readers every month. That's a lot of people. Well, congratulations to you. I mean, this is amazing. The book, I'm sure we can get at Amazon and all the bookstores and stuff.
Yeah, Barnes & Noble, Borders, and pretty much any independent bookstore. It's pretty much across the nation.
Wonderful. So The Power of Less with Leo Babauta, did you say it's pronounced?
Babauta, yeah, that's
yes,
it.
Yes, Babauta. Okay, well, all the best to you. Say hi to everyone in Guam. And
Yeah,
everyone.
All
don't,
nine of them.
Don't
yeah.
leave them anybody out. Say hello to
go
everyone.
Stop at their each individual house and tell them we said hi. You'll be done by noon.
All right, Leo. Good luck again with the book and all the best to you. Thank you for staying up this late to talk to us.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Right, absolutely. Leo. All right, so we're going to take a little break, guys.
If my name was Babauta, of course, my catchphrase would be, it's Babauta time. Sorry, we're Babauta time.
That's good.
I'll tell you a story about a boy named Leo. Yeah.
Speaking of books,
let me tell you about my book.
Speaking of books real quick, you brought in this Invisible Hands, the conservative story.
Uh-huh.
I held it burned my fingertips.
That's a book for TJ on conservative.
Yeah, I got a guest coming up, don't I?
Yeah, and you're going to interview that that author there, so that should be cool. And so we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after this.
In these tough economic times, there's one company that's actually making money. In fact, we're making tons of money. We're McDonald's, and soon we'll be involved in all aspects of your life. Introducing the 2009 McCar. Yes, McDonald's is taking over the automobile industry, and you'll love the value and quality of the McCar, formerly known as a Chevy Malibu. And you can drive your McCar to your McHouse. Soon, McDonald's will be the nation's largest home builder, constructing beautiful 2 and 3 bedroom homes without kitchens, but featuring their own playlands. In the future, you'll watch McTelevision and be governed by President McBama at the McCapitol.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we're McDonald's, and we're taking over, and you'll be loving it because you really have no choice.
on your computer, on your Wi-Fi radio, on your iPhone. Commercial-free original talk, only on LA Talk Radio, your favorite talk station.
He tried to tell her, and she thought it right. Hand in hand, they marched on through the little time. Just a little bit of time. It wasn't easy, but how could they fail? Though love can blind you just like a veil. He knew the price was worth the strain. There was so very much to gain. So much love was there to gain. And they flew so high that they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. In the end there's nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Avoiding the shadows, well they struggled on. Went up and down, did right and wrong. Misunderstandings were put aside, and the gap became too wide. You cannot bridge a gap so wide. Though they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. They locked themselves away in the magic they had found. Every day they tried to make paradise their aim. Nobody to blame. There's never anyone to blame. Well, no big event, only time, the way that it was spent. They missed the signs to walk away. Circumstances made them stay. Much too late to break away. Oh, they flew so high, they lifted off the ground. And they locked themselves away in the magic they had.
Shitty Talk Radio proliferates the internet. Two people have teamed up to save the world. It's Sam and Susie in the morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
And, of course, Susie's not here.
She yes, I am.
Machu Picchu.
Yes, I am. I'm here.
She just drank a lot last night. You can
hear
it in the voice.
I'm here, and I got to tell you, Sam, I think I'm in love again.
With whom?
He's a guy I met at the airport.
Let's hear all about it.
Well, you know, I was doing my usual thing. I packed my bags, and I got to the airport early, and... actually, I got there really, really late because that's how I do things. And so what I had to do was I had to flash the security guy to let me through because I told him, I got to go to Peru. I'm going to Peru. Anyway, I got on the plane and there was this really cute guy sitting two rows ahead of me. And I blew him. And
apparently he eats a lot of asparagus.
But it was because he asked me. I didn't just blow him. He asked me, and he bought me a beer.
And you were really drunk and shit.
Yeah, right? I was really, really drunk, and I'm still hungover right now. And I just, I broke up with him, though. I broke up with him when we landed. And now I'm dating the guy who drove me to the hotel. So it should be good. So I'll call in later from Peru, Sam.
So you're not going to Australia after all?
No, forget that guy. I broke up with him. And I dated the pilot that flew us back. Then I broke up with him, and I dated the guy who the super shuttle guy. And but I think I'm going to settle down with a cab driver here in Peru. Yeah. Until tomorrow. I'll call in later in the week, Sam. I miss you. I miss you a lot, Sam.
Well,
it's funny because it's true.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? You know, I mean, she goes to fucking Australia. She gets drunk as hell. She goes to bed with this guy, and they decide they're going to make babies and get married. That was the story. And
I just threw up a little in my mouth.
I can't.
They're speechless.
I love the kid so much that I really can't talk about it too much because I just get all judgmental. I really wish this kid had just slowed down.
I'm not involved. I can say anything I want.
I wish the kid would slow down.
We're just barely Facebook friends. I can say anything.
Yeah.
That's
why I was thinking this morning you should come in sometime and meet her, you know, because you guys never really met, right?
Yeah, we've met it was that ride I gave her home from the airport, but that was...
That's all a blur.
I just remember feeling really tired afterwards.
Sudden draining of his energy.
I'd actually love to come in and do a show with the two of you.
Yeah, it'd be awesome.
And then get lucky in channel number two right afterwards. Yeah.
That's if she lasts here very long because she is talking about moving. So
she afford to go to all these places?
She calls him Sugarless Daddy.
Sugar-free daddy. Yeah. He's a rich old dude who gives her anything, everything and anything, but doesn't actually ask for physical
return. So he's suffering from dementia.
Probably.
Something like that.
Because she is hot.
Yes.
She's a cutie. A cutie. And what makes her hot is her willingness. It's really pretty much what it is. But I just wish the kid would slow down a little bit.
Yeah,
especially really the mind-altering stuff. I wish she would just... Because you know what? There's so much about her that I know she could be enjoying life just as much as she is without all the accoutrements.
Have you tried the accoutrements?
Too much.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure because sometimes it's okay to ask for them by name.
It's just one of those things. I just think the kid, you know, it's a kid's game. Well, you know, I mean, she's still a kid though.
But you never know what demons people have. I mean, she really gets fucked up. You know, she's probably got a lot of pain to hide. You know,
that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, because I can't think of why else you would get so fucked up that she blacks out a lot. She doesn't remember what the fuck happens. She makes life changing decisions when she's extremely drunk. How the fuck can you live like this?
That's why I quit doing the whole mind altering thing, and now I just lash out at innocent bystanders.
and you know, too, is that, you know, I tell you what else just struck me. You know, I like the fact that this is a good honest forum here. We do say what we feel. Is that, you know, she'll also do things like, you know, you'll see photos on in different places that, you know, the internet is forever.
Yes.
You know, and one of these days she is going to want to settle down and get a Christmas sweater and have kids and do all that stuff, you know, and suddenly it's going to be, Mommy, are those your, you know, and it's, you know, that kind of thing. I wish this kid, she's got so much to offer.
She really does, you know. She's, I mean, probably like the most sociable person I know.
Pretty apparently.
Yeah, very socialized. Big, huge brain in her head. She's got a big brain. She's very smart.
Yeah, she's very smart. Very smart. But like I said, you know, people have demons, and you don't know what the fuck they deal with, you know? And
yeah.
She's probably not sure. She's not ready to deal with them yet. But, yeah, I just wish she would listen a little bit to people that have been around.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, it took her forever to finally get rid of that Franz piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, that dude. Tool.
That piece Tool. Of car. Yeah, you met him at that little gathering at the science fiction center over there. Yeah.
Made me want to go to Scientology after that one. Welcome to Landmark Forum.
That's
Can we
a good
change
one.
You?
Yeah.
That's God, good.
My landmark. Yeah, thank you. That's my Jeff Rector flying saucer. Anyway, so okay, so let's get political.
Yeah.
What's
in the paper?
Well, this is from a couple days ago. I meant to bring it into my show.
You
got to
remember, he doesn't have his own show today, so he's got to bring.
Yeah,
it
I got to get it. Well, this just drove me nuts. First,
I need to talk to you about today too.
Yeah, okay.
Let's do this on the air. This is exactly. Personal business time.
Right,
no,
business.
Go on.
Well, you got to tell him. Go ahead.
I've got to do a replay today too. I've got to take care of some editing stuff for my wife's film.
Okay. A little bit of post. In this town, we call that post. Got to do post. Got to do post on a project. So dig this. Okay, this is in the closest thing to a slightly balanced paper, the LA Daily News, right. and it's a big front page thing from this Sunday's Daily News, and it says so basically they ask you to take your violin out, and the headline is "Too Broke to Buy a Ticket Home," Valley's immigrant day laborers, illegal aliens.
Uh-huh.
Just hang on. And the title is "Bordering on Despair."
Why don't they just turn themselves in? They get a free ride.
Get a free It's honestly, they are down and out from Guatemala and homesick for Guatemala and Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, and they would go back without even an American penny in their pocket. And they go through this whole article and they expect us to feel bad for these people who are here. That we're talking about their illegal activity.
Breaking,
supposed to feel bad for.
Breaking the fucking law.
Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And the fact that we're supposed to feel bad that they can't get home. Johnny makes a great point. All they have to do is literally show up at ICE and they'll get a nice air-conditioned coach to your ride to San Diego. Mm. But honestly, it just stuns me how, you know, we're supposed to be, you know, there are lemmings in the valley who read this paper and went, oh, we should go. Maybe bring them some sandwiches.
Sounds like
something.
A Facebook cause.
Oh,
sounds like a Facebook cause.
Yeah, TJ just joined. I feel bad for the shitbags at Home Depot.
Yeah, Home Depot said they were cutting 7,000 jobs. Can we start with that little thing out front?
Yeah, how about that? Yeah. You know what? Yeah. It all contributes. That's a hell of a goddamn point. It all contributes, man. A buddy of mine, my buddy Reagan, who sometimes sits in on my show, he was telling me this morning how he would be due a refund. From California, he'll get a pretty little IOU. He ain't going to get nothing. And there are so many things. I'm telling you, it just, we drown and we drown and we drown and we are, and those, some of these kooky kind of fringy guests, like remember that Frosty Wooldridge guy? I ended up having him on, and I know you guys got emails from Frost, Mr. Population Explosion.
Yes.
Remember? Yeah. I ended up taking him on. You guys were like, yeah, okay, yeah, you talk to the kook. And, and you know what? I tell you, there's something to be said about just simply the sheer numbers. The sheer numbers and the people that are streaming. One of the really sweet things. I thought this Christmas was a potentially maybe get back to basics Christmas with a little less because there was less money flying around.
A little Green Army Man Christmas instead of a PlayStation Christmas.
Yes, I remember you saying that. I like that. You know what? Maybe this recession is kind of what maybe will maybe help us to live the power of less in America and maybe reduce the clutter of all the illegals who are here looking for sweet little situations.
That's true. It's not as attractive for them anymore to be here.
I am not an advocate of illegal immigrants, and I'm also not an advocate of someone who comes to our country and then refuses to learn the language.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. If I go to France and I want to get shit done, I got to learn to speak
You're getting
French.
Rosetta Stone and you're going to learn French.
Yes,
Johnny, exactly. What's with the headphones? I'm learning French. I'm going to France. That's how you would do it.
Yeah. Course, if I was saying I was going to France, there would also be a tear in my eye.
Yes, fuck the French.
Well, exactly. Why did you start smoking? I'm going to France.
One in Paris. Yeah, yeah.
I'm watching Jerry Lewis with French subtitles.
If I could go to France, really, the only place I'm curious about is, I mean, I'm curious about Paris, but fuck them. I want to go to, I want to go to Normandy bad.
Really?
I really want to go to Normandy. I absolutely so badly want to go
it,
and pay my respects.
Why? I mean, just to go to Omaha Beach and
I want to reinvade. I want to show up on a dinghy and pretend and run serpentine up the beach.
Tell you what, I'll get there a half hour before you.
Are you shooting me?
I'll bring a Daisy air rifle so it just stings a little bit.
You'll yell out, Einstein's dying like that, yeah. And I'll be like down on the beach going, ow, Johnny, you hit me. Ow, it stinks. God, stop. No, ow, stop. This is not fun. Ow. Johnny's up there just willy-nilly, you know, there's Cricket Lee handing him more ammo, you know. Rhonda's laying out in the rocks saying, wow, wait, to save the shells, we can recycle them. but you know, yeah. So I really want to go to Normandy.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for illegal immigrants.
No, these guys, I don't feel bad.
And don't ask me to.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm a liberal person. We all know that. But there's things I draw the line at, and and it's, you know, they're saying, well, who's going to do those jobs? Well, guess what? The prisons are full of people. Mm-hmm. And here's
not only that, but there are people. Look, if you go to Vegas,
I will not wash dishes at Denny's.
No.
Yeah. No. But exactly. But what I'm saying is, you go to places like Vegas or other places. Places in the country, you don't have Mexicans everywhere.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
No.
So there are Americans that do those jobs,
right? And you know, and that's what
people
I say to people.
Bad at the crap table,
and that's probably whoever.
And that's what I say to people. You know, because I'll have people who are even friends of mine, some real Los Angelinos who, you know, whatever, and they will, in a not so polite way, sometimes say, you know, that I'm racist, or my views on some of this are racist, or I'm not compassionate, or whatever. And you know, here's the thing, man. I go home to New York, you go to Chicago, you go to Boston, you go to some of these places, you know, and there are people of all different races. I don't walk around going, nigga. No, I don't. Here's the thing. My problem with places like Southern California and Arizona and different is that I can literally go, I can make a right on Van Nuys Boulevard, go about 2 miles, and literally feel
like
I'm in fucking Mexico.
Yes.
And
you just go Blankersham a few blocks.
Actually, any of these major boulevards.
Head
go north.
North.
Yeah. Go north. Right. And you literally, you feel it. And you know what? And I will cop to this. I will cop to this. There is a different unsettling that I feel if I'm down in K-Town or if I'm in Thai Town. Yeah, you know what? It's less intrusive for some reason. But I think it's because... I don't know why. But you know what it is? Because when you're in Koreatown, you don't see a bunch of people, or little Tokyo, you don't see a bunch of people walking around wearing kimonos and, you know, and little Japanese outfits. You know, you don't see people wearing samurai suits. But you go to fucking, you know, you go up into Van Nuys, North Hollywood, let alone Pacoima, Panorama City, you go up to those fucking godforsaken places, and you have people wearing the cowboy hats and the bandolero things, and it's a dying, and there's music blasting out of every fucking car and every fucking store.
And all
you
the billboards
like
are in Spanish.
Tijuana.
You know,
everything's
in
fucking
Spanish.
And when I'm in New York,
settle down, Rush.
When I'm in New York, when I'm in New York, let me polish my brass buttons in my Ralph Lauren buttons. When I'm in New York or in these other places, you know, I go to a Yankee game and, you know, I'll hear somebody speaking Spanish, but you know, it's a Dominican guy, it's a Puerto Rican guy, but you know what? That guy will slip right into and he'll sound just like me.
Right.
You know, and he's wearing a goddamn Jeter shirt, you know? And Johnny and I have actually come together a couple of times on different things talking about how we feel there are moments when we have to assimilate within our own country.
Yes. That was a topic of the TV
on your show.
Yeah,
when you came on. The Damage Report TV show, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. When you have to go to Kentucky Fried Chicken and point to the menu because the person behind there that can't even find Kentucky on the map.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
To conform, you're in my country. Mm-hmm. Learn my language. I'm serious. If I go to Mexico, I know enough to get drunk, laid, and in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
But I use it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got no problem with that.
Yeah.
I just expect the same here.
Yeah.
And you know, speaking of Rush, you know, it was interesting. Forgive me, I'm sorry, Sam. But you know, speaking of Rush, one of the things he did recently was really very, very cogent and very nicely done. Was he opened up one of his hours with a monologue, and he was talking about immigration rules, and he went through these very restrictive rules and very restrictive laws, and finished it by saying that is what happens when you decide to live or travel or whatever as an American in Mexico. They were all Mexican laws and rules and regulations concerning land ownership, home ownership, work visas, travel, guest visas, all these things that you would think they sounded so, what's the word I'm looking for?
Strict.
Well, strict, yeah. They sounded very, very draconian.
Draconian. There
we go. And they sounded very draconian, and people were, it sounds like what a lot of lefties would say would be American, overbearing type of law. But it's how, in Mexico, man, God help you if you go to try to sell chiclets on the streets in Tijuana, you will get fucking thrown in jail.
Yeah.
They will fucking take your passport in Mexico for trying to gain work. Yeah. I tell you what, and as somebody who traveled through Mexico easily 1,000 times over the course of 10 years, working cruise ships. I tell you, Ray, the way you do it is, you push a button when you get to the airport, and it's for customs. You go through immigration, then you go to customs, and you push a button. It's totally random. Red or green.
Right.
And green, you walk through, get red. God forbid you get a red fucking light. Right. God forbid.
Same thing crossing the border.
Anytime you go into, that's their system. God forbid. And when I say God forbid, I mean it's like we're talking about.
I got the red light once.
Talking about a bunch of dusty friggin' little cucarachas who are on the take, little federales.
$100 tax.
I swear to God, you will get a goddamn. I'm telling you, man. And so this is people who come down on America for this stuff. They're it's misplaced.
Yeah.
It really is.
And it's always easy to say racism, but to me, racism is about hatred. And I don't think we hate these people. It's just like there's an influx of so many people that are coming here. They're uneducated. They're poor, and they integrate into our system. Or they don't really integrate. They just
Johnny's point.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't integrate.
Yeah, right. Only the things that are convenient for them, like Social Security and unemployment.
When you came
shit.
Here, you learned to speak our language.
Not only that, but it was important to me to be like an American.
When TJ came here from New York, he learned to speak our language.
There was some assimilation there.
Very funny. Very. Yeah, and sometimes you walk past packs of New Yorkers, you'll hear us on the corner.
Yeah.
Oh, we're from New York, and we flaunt it. We talk our own language. Oh, yeah. It's very off-putting to Los Angelinos.
Yeah, I like it better. I mean, there's more honesty there, there's too much phoniness in this town, There really is, but it's too much of a cliche.
And so along the lines of the freeloading Hispanics, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa.
Oh, Mr. Empty Suit himself?
This Mr. Empty Suit, no show. Might have been one of his opponents, might have been Walter Moore. Somebody did a little, like a LexisNexis search kind of thing. They went through his schedule, his public record or whatever. Evidently, the guy has been on the job 15% of the time that he's been since he's been elected.
Really?
Oh, he's always doing fact-finding missions.
Yeah, junkets. Yeah. He has spent 15% of his time since he's been elected actually doing city work. That is
really.
That is beyond even what I thought.
Does he do the other time?
What Johnny said, going around
fact-finding missions,
goes to Asia. Goes to Israel, goes to,
he's a fucking mayor.
Every one of them with a happy ending.
He spent the entire primary season on the road for Obama, for Clinton. Mm-hmm. He just got back. He just now probably getting back from the inauguration. He goes to the conventions. The guy is absolutely, and here's the thing. He's got a handful of these kooks that are trying to run against him.
Yeah.
He's got one real serious contender, a guy named Walter Moore, who actually has raised money. And Villaraigosa was going to take public money, but then at the very last second opted away from the public money because that would have required him to debate. This guy is literally not going to debate anybody.
Really?
Including Walter Moore, who the whole impetus for this guy busting his ass. He's raised about, and this is a very empathy. It's a very, they don't give a shit kind of town. So he's actually been able to raise about $250,000. Apathetic. Thank you. That's what I was like. Jesus. Apathetic town. $250,000 he's raised, and he's been raising and raising and raising with the sole purpose to be, get me in a room with this guy. Get me on a podium with this guy. Let me debate this guy. Yeah. Get it to the point where he can't say no. And so it's, and
get him to keep asking for it.
Well, that's the thing, is that everybody has got to, and what finally happened over the weekend was the Los Angeles Times I don't read that communist rag, but somebody who does told me that on the front page, and actually as I say that, I must give them credit, front page of New York Times, one of their writers, a Latino writer, spent time with Walter Moore, again, the only real serious contender, and I wouldn't be surprised if the guy starts getting just a little bit more ink. Now, it might be too little too late because we're about to hit February and the election is in March.
Oh.
Which
I didn't even know that.
I was just going to say, you probably didn't even know that.
For mayor?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. I don't even know who the... and I, you know,
it'll be another
Mexican.
I do
a political show like you.
Right.
Yeah,
it's laughable.
He's going to get another Mexican, probably, you know, because they are becoming the majority.
They'll all just show up. They'll all just show up.
What's his position on illegal immigrants?
Let me tell you, his position on he ideally wants Los Angeles to be a sanctuary city like San Francisco. I mean, look, man, you know, when those illegals and that riot happened in MacArthur Park, you know, I mean, the guy didn't even kind of try to show a little bit of support for his cops, you know. Yeah. The 2 days after, he threw them all under the bus and he went on Good Day LA and said, with, you know, bowed head and folded hands, and literally said to Steve Edwards and Jillian Barber, you know, I apologize on behalf of what happened at MacArthur. He talked about it like it was Kent State, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody died, they got bruised.
They got bruised. And you know what, man? You know what happened? People got bruised. When the cops say, and look, now I'm a guy who's not supposed to worry about this, right? Johnny is a kind of guy. We're three guys who are not supposed to worry about, you know, driving while white, right? You know,
yeah.
When the cops pull us over, I would venture to guess that the three of us, the last time we got a speeding ticket, our hands were firmly on the wheel. We apologize for having, you know, caused this man to, you know, worry about us.
Right.
We apologize for speeding. We handed over things politely and respectfully because we just wanted to get the fuck out of there because we're law-abiding guys who fucked up and sped a little bit. These fucking pieces of shit in MacArthur Park are out there complaining. They're all fucking illegal immigrants anyway.
Uh-huh.
And they're standing around and the cops say disperse. You know what disperse means? Turn around, walk that way now.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean saunter slowly. Backwards, maybe I'll move. No, because that's when you get a billy club in your fucking shoulder, you know?
Right.
And so that's what Villaraigosa apologizes for and throws his entire bunch under the bus. So I think that's his take right there. And I think, too, I think as long as we have a guy like Villaraigosa who is absolutely completely indebted and beholden to that special interest group, which is that growing majority, I think that his approach to his Hispanic gangs will reflect it. I think that what we need is a Giuliani-like approach to gang violence in this city. I think the idea of putting having just outreach groups and after-school programs is one thing. You got to have cops on the corners of all of these gangland areas. We got to have patrol cars. Literally, I don't care. Now, that's where I would pay extra taxes. If I knew that my taxes were going to buy black and whites and put the cops in them and sit them 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all through Pacoima, all through South Central, sit them out there, have the after-school specials, reach out to the kids, but also let those kids see, you know, Hector down the street being loaded up into a van because he flashed a gang sign. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, you're right.
And Villaraigosa will not attack, he won't attack the black gangs because that's just going to create more upheaval and he doesn't need trouble from the black preachers. So going to let them just kind of float around, and he's certainly not going to attack or deport or anything to do with the Hispanic gangs because now he's going to upset his entire base and he won't eventually become, you know, a secretary of whatever.
Yeah.
TJ, I'm really not sure where you stand on this.
The guy's a piece of shit. He really is, and we are all in big trouble. I really, honestly, you know what it's really coming down to. I say this, and Johnny's a born and bred Californian. I know you're an Orange County born guy, but
no, I was born in Inglewood.
Oh, born in Inglewood. Okay.
Yeah.
And you know, honestly, I'm really sincere. I really can't wait to get out of here.
Yeah.
And California, as a kid of the 70s growing up in New York and seeing nothing but Los Angeles on TV, be it the Brady Bunch or Quincy or whatever, LA was where you had to get to. And I'm saying this really from an emotional and rational standpoint, not a blustery white ivory tower standpoint. I really can't wait to get out of here. This morning I was jostled awake by another shopping cart with, you know, collecting bottles.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and this isn't Sherman Oaks.
But you got to remember something. Where would you move to, DJ?
Westchester County, New York.
Oh, yeah? And they don't have that shit there? But they have other stuff,
I called. They're closed. That's very funny.
No, they don't, man. They're Italians and Jews.
But they've got their problems there, too. Irish, I'm sure you're going to go there and
there's problems. You know, yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, there's problems. But, man, you know what? The quality of life issues are quality. You know, you mind your own business. You don't have homeless people. Look, put it this way, man. I'm about next. And now that I know we're having this baby next Monday, I'm great. Because Wednesday night is my first opportunity to be my dad, which is go to a neighborhood watch meeting. One of my neighbors next, a week from yesterday, is having the local police guy. We have a couple of police officers coming to this guy's house, and it's a forum for everybody who lives in the prescribed area. And you know, it's one of these things where, you know, we're gonna, you know, God forbid, you know, Andy and I wanted to try to sell our house, or somebody down the street wanted to sell, you know, and when the people come up for the open house, here comes, you know, Hector the friggin' bottle collector up the street with his rickety fucking, you can, this is a quality of life thing, but it's a financial thing, it's a dollars and cents, it's an economic thing. This is not what I mean, what's killing me is property taxes right now, to be totally honest with you. These fucking property taxes are destroying me, and I am not kicking out about $8,000 a year to have this environment. I mean, this is not what you pay to buy a house for.
Let me help you with that.
Yeah,
go and find out get your house appraised. Mm-hmm. Take that value. Mm-hmm. Go down to the county office and say you need to lower my property taxes because it's based on a percentage of what your property value is.
Yeah,
and everybody's property has gone way.
Yeah,
down,
yeah, so. That's true. That it is one of the literal things to do. It is something that I need to do, and the baby coming is kind of taking my focus away, but you're right.
What you got to do.
That's what I say when I say I really, you know, when I think about New York and I think about other places. I mean, look, all you got to do is go up to wherever, and you don't have a lot of these issues. But
that's true.
But California is a homeless magnet, and unfortunately,
it's the weather.
It's the weather. Really, it's a very practical reason.
Because, you know, when like in Chicago, you know, what happened to Bob? February happened to Bob.
You know what though? Actually, I'll take that a step further. It is the weather, but I tell you what, this too, man. You know, Los Angeles being the spread out area it is, and I'm just spitballing this idea here. Of course, you don't have police walking the beat, you know. And I mean, you know, and wouldn't it be refreshing to actually see a couple of cops swinging a stick or whatever, like, you know, like in the old days? Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to actually see a couple of cops, like maybe standing on the corner of, say, Hollywood and Vine?
Yeah, but nobody walks here.
I know as a business owner, I know my wife owns a business on on Ventura, but every once in a while there's a couple of bike cops, but that's not the same. It would just give peace of mind. It would give peace of mind to see a couple of guys walking up, stopping into a business. Hey, how's everything been around here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, the thing with the homeless and stuff, they can do whatever they want because you know what, man? They can hide like Charlie in the jungle. These guys, they just go, the black and whites go coasting by because they have to because we don't have enough cops in this town. We do not have enough.
Well, you can't
cops.
Arrest someone for just being homeless.
However, here's my point. I agree with you. However, and I've said this to you before, the shopping cart they have, just by virtue of the shopping cart they have, shopping carts, and I Googled this, remember I talked to you about it, they cost about $125 a piece. That's a wholesale price. Ralph's, it cost them $125 per shopping cart.
Wow.
There's a guy you'll see over here. He's got seven of them. A guy, he lives on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City.
It's almost like a train. I've seen him pull them down the street.
He has more than $1,000 worth of shopping carts. If you or I were walking down the street with a Circuit City flat screen on our shoulder. I mean, it's grand theft. I mean that is serious theft. That's possession of stolen goods. And you know what? The Bleeding Heart. Now the Bleeding Heart would say, yeah, what are you going to do? You're going to have him just put all this shit in the street. It's not his cart. It's not his shopping cart. Now look, they got Capone on taxes. They got Capone, a killer, thug, a bootlegger on taxes.
RICO Act, yeah.
This is how we got to attack the homeless thing and get them into shelter. And then again, part of this is for their own good. Get them into shelters. Get them into rehabs. Get them into classes to let them learn how to go and run the recycling center instead of bringing the bottles there. Yeah. You know? So again, when you see, to me, it's cause to stop a homeless person with the shopping cart because they didn't buy the shopping cart. I don't care if they found it. It's stolen merchandise. And whatever is in that thing, whatever, they got to deal with it. Take the shopping cart, put it on a truck, and tell that person to get themselves to a goddamn shelter. It's just what needs to happen. Arrest them and put them in the system. Yeah. They have the stolen. I mean, again, our kids cannot. A guy threatened me one time. I told you about that one morning when I came in to do the show. The guy was out walking, and the guy says he's going to bust my head open because he thought I was staring at him. He's a bottle collector. And it's like, holy shit, I was actually saying good morning to the fucking guy because that's what Jesus would have done. And that's literally how I'm trying to be, do the right thing. Yeah. And the fucking guy says, I'll bust your head, whatever. So the thought is, you know, I got this baby coming. Is my wife going to walk? You know, one time she went out and saw three homeless guys taking a siesta two houses away on the neighbor's lawn under a tree. Really? That's not your fucking tree.
Yeah.
And so Los Angeles better wake the fuck up. It's not cute. It's not sweet. L.A. really better wake up. And it really better because it's going to get a lot worse, man.
Yeah. Well, yeah, so much for the
news. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm talking. Wait, I hear myself talking. I'm not unaware. I'm talking too much. I apologize.
No, you're not talking too much. That's what we do here. It's a talk show.
But it's three of us here, so forgive me.
No, it's okay. I mean,
I enjoyed the nap. Don't worry.
Yeah, what were we saying?
I'm just saying, look, I'd rather live somewhere else too. But while you're here, make the best of it. You know,
I haven't killed anybody yet.
Yeah, don't focus on all this shit. You know,
I'm trying not to. I'm having a baby.
Me too.
Where's that guy that said he'd bust your head open? I want to stare at him. You know me. I'm a fucking button pusher, man. I'll go, really? Let's go. Let's go. Go put down the shopping cart. Put down the shopping cart.
So we got Johnny here, so let's talk Super Bowl real quick, too.
What I wanted to ask you, though, is do you get in fights sometimes with people?
No. Not physical fights. No, I'm a grown man. I'm 47 years old.
Were you ever a fighter?
As a kid, yes.
Oh, yeah.
As a guy, can I handle myself? Oh, yeah.
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I know enough to get me in jail. But would I ever take a life? No. If it was mine or theirs,
right.
I would not think twice. But nowadays, it's you know, I don't even... You start thinking like, wow, I got a wife, and she's really hot, and I don't want someone else having her. But it's not going to look real pretty on my record. It really isn't. It's like, oh, God. You know, sometimes you just got to walk away and just go, okay. I'm with TJ as far as, you know, if I feel accosted on the street, that's when I become Republican and puff my chest really large and start pounding on it. I had to throw something in
there.
That's
okay.
But I will stand. I let them know that I don't give a shit about their position in society because mine is better.
And Zing Bai,
clearly he's got a suicide.
Yeah, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And he just doesn't care anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That fucker there.
Mm.
If he gets in front of my car, I will not break. I will not break at all. I won't.
Yeah, it's dangerous when you deal with people that have nothing to lose, you know?
Yeah,
They're not afraid of it.
But so you see what I'm saying? I really do think it's an interesting tack to think about this shopping cart thing. And, you know, again, comparing it Capone and taxes and all that stuff. And you've talked about outside your building, the guys in the morning and the rattling and this.
Yeah, I'd like to apologize for that right up
front. Also, it's you.
Ronnie makes them because it's all recycled. Yeah, Roddy makes it get out there with this.
So it's Johnny with a fucking blower in the morning, you know?
actually, it's a sucker, just a really loud one.
But, you know, and you know, it is a shame because, you know, honestly, Los Angeles is, and there are so many reminders of the Shangri-La that L.A. had to have been. In the 60s and 70s, I mean, let alone the 40s, 50s. But I mean, you know, it seemed like its heyday was 60s and 70s, maybe right up until maybe the early 80s. It had to be. When I see these neighborhoods, and when we were house hunting a year and a half ago, going into some of these neighborhoods that now I just would in a million years never buy in. Mm. But like, oh, these fans, and you could just imagine what I used to see on TV growing up. And, you know, I mean, being able to play baseball and basketball in February, I used to use a hatchet to hack the ice off my driveway so I could play basketball.
Yeah.
And knowing there were kids here, and it's 72, and so, you know, that whole Rose Bowl parade thing where people just want to get it. And what's happened to this Shangri-La, it's a real shame. And I think it's just state, and it's gonna get worse, a lot worse before. And we were on this path a long time ago in LA. Well before the rest of the economy tumbled.
I
gotta believe that there's a ghost or two. Yeah, you brought up the Super Bowl.
Yeah, bro, that's what I want
to. Johnny has to talk about
it's
that.
It's Johnny's week, baby.
That's all they've been fucking talking
I'm
about.
I'm wearing the hat. I've got the.
Dog tag?
Yeah, I got the Steelers dog tag. I'm wearing my Steelers underwear. I was gonna wear the jersey, but the static electricity's been so bad lately. I've been burning my nipples.
Really?
I went from wearing underwear to dryer sheets. I'm sick of getting fucking shocked, man. I really am.
Dryer sheets.
But I'm. Yeah, we're going up against the Cardinals. I'm gonna be there on the field.
Ronda, no, it's we Super Bowl. It's week.
Rhonda, my wife, is just every time she does a status update on her Facebook page, it's whatever it is. Oh, by the way, the Steelers are in the Super Bowl. I was watching the game against the Ravens, the ones that put the game that put us into the Super Bowl, yeah. And it had that 2-point spread near the end. And I'm watching them going, God, I hope we make it. And I look over at my wife going, oh, I really fucking hope we make it.
she was catatonic, wasn't she?
It's like, okay, if they lose, I'll get through it. But Hallmark doesn't make a card for that.
Yeah, it's
like, honey, come in off the ledge. Off the ledge. We're excited. We've gotten several invites to several parties.
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Her mom and dad, so I call them dad because I hate my parents. Mm. And hope you're listening.
Is that, huh? How terrible is it not to like your parents?
I know nothing different. That's all I know. I mean, I look at you guys saying, well, you know, my parents are coming to town. I'm like, ew, why? I'm going to have lunch with my sister. Oh, do you guys have to discuss bad news? What? I mean, seriously, I don't even have addresses or emails or phone numbers. Yeah. I know where they're at.
That's why you didn't sign.
I heard you call your mom on her birthday.
The day after her birthday.
You were a day late that
day. I did that on purpose.
I know.
and I did that for me, not for her.
Just
to kind of appease. A little guilt, like, well, geez, am I a really douchebag? Then I realized, hey, I'm a douchebag. Yeah. That's okay.
Yeah.
But
that's because you're dead inside, you know?
When I die, it's going to sound like a beer opener. Nature abhors a vacuum.
He's dead inside.
but mom and dad are here, and they're from Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and dad's up there in years. And this might be the last time he gets to watch the Super Bowl with his team in the Super Bowl. And I have an opportunity to watch that game with him.
Mm.
So I'm going to fix some of my famous
tri-tip. Oh, okay.
I got a bunch of tri-tip in the freezer. 2-for-1 at Ralph's. Picks
them up. Nice.
Really? Ask for it by name from the butcher case.
Okay.
Not the pre-wrap
good
shit.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Not the stuff they sell to the immigrants.
Nah. So you're not gonna make tripe.
Okay. No. Tripe tip. Oh, yeah. I misread that one. So we're going to watch the game. I have a chili that's won second place in a few competitions.
Cool.
I'm going to make for them. I'll have to tone it down a bit.
Right.
And I'm going to watch the game with my in-laws, my wife, and her cousin, who's also a Steelers fan.
Sounds like fun.
Looking forward to it. It'll actually be nice. I won't be around a bunch of drunk, crazy people, but they will.
Yeah.
And kickoff is like
3:30-ish.
Like that, give or take, yeah.
And then so we're just going to have
all
a good time.
When your team is in it, it's funny, when your team is in it, that's when all the pregame counts. It's like when you really do want to, you know, when it's like, for me this year.
I started drinking yesterday.
See, there you go. Exactly. All the pregame, you know, all the coverage, all the, you know, they start the Fox pregame show, or who's got it this year? NBC, I think.
NBC, which sucks because they didn't have any games this year at all. So they're like, who do we get?
Yeah, they don't even know what's going on.
Kelly Ripa. We'll get Kelly Ripa.
But they start their pregame like tomorrow at 3:00, and, you know, and so, but yeah, it's fun, man. I'm really envious of you. Last year my team was in it, so I know. It really is. It is like nothing else when your team is in the Super Bowl. Yeah. It's every
who do you like, the Giants?
I'm a Giant guy.
I'm
rooting, you know, I mean, I want to root for the Steelers because I have never had an aversion to the Steelers. It's like I've always, you know, I'm a Giant fan. I mean, the only team that
say Cardinals and you have to leave.
The only sport
who
that,
the fuck gives a
the only sport that I can't pull for, I mean, is baseball, because the Yankees, it's like the Yankees and everyone else is an evil fucking cretin. It's like, yeah, you know, everyone else is Satan, and I just can't. But, you know, with football, yeah, I'm a Giant guy, big blue all the way. But in a Super Bowl, I'll pick a side, and Steelers, yeah, I like the who's the colored coach? What's his name?
Tomlin.
Nice color kid. Nice color kid.
Tomlin. He's only the third colored coach to make the Super Bowl,
right.
And he'll only be the second one to win it.
There you go.
Sorry, Lonnie Love, you had your shot.
Yeah,
Bears coach there.
It's
who's the colored
Lonnie
coach?
And he's
the one drinking from the other fountain.
Yeah, right. He'd be the only colored coaches. I like his style. I really like his style. I really do. I think
it's his second year with the team. It's his second year as a head coach.
Yeah,
look
it's way cool. I like him. He's a cool guy, and I like his operation. And I guess the only the only violin you could play for the Cardinals is, you know, that they've sucked forever. But that's the thing. That's another reason why I don't necessarily go for a team like the Cardinals, like a worst to first kind of team, because they've sucked for so long, and it's like, you know, their time could very well, you know, they're just now getting here. There's no reason. They don't have to win it now. Pittsburgh Could you, a nice victory here?
I think you guys have an easy game there.
No.
They've already beat them once this year.
Yeah, Cardinals beat us once already this year.
Oh.
But it was at their field.
Yeah.
Cardinals are tough at their field. They really are. But Fitzgerald is this guy's like a ball magnet for the Cardinals. He doesn't catch it close. All of his catches are out here like he's playing baseball.
Yeah.
The guy's phenomenal.
Hines
Ward still may not be coming back on the field for us because he sprained his knee in first quarter of the Ravens game.
Sat out practice the other day.
Yeah, so his career may be coming onto a sunset, which my wife is already screaming no.
Yeah.
But I'm not talking smack because we also what happened Patriots versus Giants.
Yeah, a lot of smack.
So the Patriots were undefeated all the way through until the Giants went blink.
That's what made that so sexy last year. Not only do we win the Super Bowl, but we beat those twats.
Like
in the undefeated, ruined an undefeated season.
So I'm careful because both quarterbacks have Super Bowl rings, Warner and Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Have Super Bowl. Now, in defense of Warner, he's never ridden a motorcycle without a helmet. Because that happened to Roethlisberger.
And I do like that about Roethlisberger. He's kind of a wild child, kind of a nutty kind of fella, a real character. Yeah, this is a win-win for me, really.
It'll be a good game.
I really hope it's a good game.
It's going to be a brutal game.
And I think, again, the thing with Warner, old guy. I mean, he's that guy who was, when he won the Super Bowl with the Rams.
After they left L.A., fuckers.
Yeah, prior to that, he had been in and out. He was stocking shelves. He was working at a fucking supermarket and got the call to try out or something like that. It was along those lines. And I think his wife had cancer. I mean, some kind of like, and here he comes from out of nowhere and goes into this unbelievable situation.
She didn't have cancer. She had a mullet. Pretty much the same thing.
Yeah, same thing. It was some kind of affliction. Yeah.
But isn't it pathetic we don't have a team here in L.A.?
Al Davis.
Fuck,
again, here's the thing. Why? And this is an interesting thing. I was just going to say.
So don't blame the previous ones, but how come no teams want to come here?
It's not that they don't. The NFL controls all this.
Yeah.
We're the ace in the hole. They say you stay in line or we're going to move your team to L.A.
There's a couple of reasons. One thing is it's very, very difficult to do business in California. Everything from the environmental regulations, and I'm not opening up a can of worms or whatever, but I'm saying environmental regulations are such that it's the taxes. It is impossible, and the state can't afford to give the tax breaks that they would need to bring a professional franchise here to build a stadium, to do all this stuff, even to renovate the LA Coliseum to modern day NFL level. So it's and what I was going to say is, interestingly, I got to grab the Wall Street. Well, actually, I don't have to because it'll be online. But a very interesting editorial today by Rush Limbaugh in the Wall Street Journal talking about his outreach to Barack, talking about you can have all of your spending. Implement my tax cuts. And it's a fascinating thing. He didn't just write this editorial. He went and got himself some economic brain or whatever. And they figured it out that based on prior, you cut taxes and you raise revenues in Washington. Exactly. You raise taxes, you don't raise revenues. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But evidently, he said, you want to spend like you want to spend? You want to have this $9 trillion billion friggin' go ahead, do your thing. Taxes and make it the best thing that's ever happened to America. Anyway, that just got me thinking about this LA thing. Is it, again, we don't deserve a professional NFL franchise. They wouldn't exist for much longer. They would be taxed out of here.
Really?
Yeah. Businesses are leaving. California was this for the second year in a row.
But they wouldn't if they really cared about bringing a team here. Then they wouldn't tax them
The thing is that they have no drink. They cannot afford. The state has no cash right now.
I'm still waiting for my $75 check for working the polls.
Really?
Yes, I am. I'm still waiting because if you work three elections in a row, you get a bonus of $75.
Yeah.
I got my pay for the day, but as you all know, I worked three elections in a row.
Right.
Uh-huh.
I still have not seen, and I call and I get, they're not really issuing those checks right now.
The state has no cash.
Teachers are getting IOUs at random, not like every teacher, but just one day they'll go up, a teacher opens up their pay envelope and says, not this week.
Really?
It's a mess.
So what's going to happen with tax refunds? You think people get IOUs?
Yes.
Really?
It's official.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it's official. This is not even conjecture.
Yeah.
You're going to get an IOU. The Treasury, people have already gotten IOUs. We acknowledge you have overpaid thus, and you will be at some point, however, at this time, we cannot. Whoa. Now, I am really tempted to send an IOU in with my stuff in April.
Yeah,
exactly. Send IOU. We're this close to it, to people just going, really? Nah, not, I'm not even going to file.
Yeah.
Screw it. We're this close to that happening.
That's why.
Yeah.
These fucking illegal immigrants. I'm telling you, these fucking illegal immigrants.
They don't pay taxes?
Have put, not to my recollection. It's, you know, and actually, I get the joke, and actually, the serious side of that is true. It's because these millions of people here, how many of them are over, how many of their kids are overcrowding the schools? How many of them are showing up to emergency rooms looking for treatment and all, you know, coming in for the
welfare control lines?
And the same
shit,
parents are,
you know,
saying, you have to teach my kid in Spanish.
Right.
Because that's all we speak at home.
Right. Yeah. And the kid's not going to be here all of high school. He's just going to, we're going to, as soon as he's big enough to carry the bricks, he's going to join dad over at Home Depot anyway.
Yeah.
As soon as the girl is you know, strong enough to push a mop, she's going to join mom, because that's how we roll.
And then as soon as she's strong enough to push a baby, she's going to join Paco.
There you go.
There you go.
Exactly.
That's where she goes.
And then they'll both push a shopping cart, and thus continues the cycle. It's the
circle of life.
We are drowning. We are drowning in this illegal immigration. I'm telling you, it's one of the biggest drains. That and these gangs.
Can I take a moment to blame the Jews?
Oh, no.
I was going to say, you know, we might as well blame somebody. And that's who we blame all the time.
With their and noses.
The Dutch. The fucking Dutch.
Dutch Jews.
Dutch Jews.
Wait, was the name Frank a Dutch Jew?
Yes.
The friggin' Franks.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll see you next Tuesday.
But you know, it's an amazing thing if you ever go to Amsterdam.
I really would.
It's really cool.
That's got to be trippy.
No, what's funny is watching people leave Amsterdam. Jeff Capria, very, very funny comedian. I think you know Jeff.
I might.
I know you know his dad, too.
Dick Capri?
Yes, that's his dad.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, Jeff Capria has a funny line. He goes, you want to watch something funny? Watch businessmen leave Amsterdam. It's like watching a three-year-old leave the park. I don't want to go.
It's a beautiful
place. I gotta give credit
place.
Where credit is due.
You've got to go.
So you've been to the Anne Frank house?
Yeah, I've been to Amsterdam three times.
I don't think that's what he did when he was in Amsterdam, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. I did go there too.
Did you do legal hookers?
No, I didn't do hookers. I was with my wife. Actually, I went there once without.
Okay,
I went there on my own.
So just make a face if you did, and nobody has to know.
No, but I didn't.
Wow, you made a face.
But now I wish I had.
I can totally fuck him right now. Wow. Oh, okay. You winked. So you did do it while you were alone. Okay.
That's like saying, so you're still beating your wife?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
exactly.
No, bad answer.
Exactly.
I wish I had.
I wish I had.
What, beat your wife?
Nah. No. Bang the
go to the hookers.
Dutch prostitute.
I can't. I could never do a hooker. I can't unless I'm that's why I've been married four times. I have to be emotionally connected to someone before I can have sex with them.
Yeah.
See, now for a guy who's dead inside, liberation of Auschwitz.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yes, specifically Auschwitz. Specifically that one and a couple of satellite camps that
wasn't
were.
Wasn't Birkenau the same day?
Was what?
Birkenau, wasn't that the same day?
How do you say that one? Dachau or Birkenbelsen?
Birkenbelsen.
One of the
friggin' German names.
Yeah, one of those happy
garden. Goddamn Germans!
Friggin' Krauts.
Yeah.
Fucking Krauts. so sick of so many people. So yesterday was Auschwitz. So Anne Frank, that's got to be a heady, trippy deal.
Yeah, you go in there and you see the house, you see where she slept, they would write on the walls and stuff.
Is the writing, just, you can still see?
Yeah, you can see
everything. Is it
heavy? I mean, just being there, is it heavy?
Well, it's not heavy, but it's a great experience. You know, I didn't see it as heavy.
Because
you know?
I was at ground zero, like within 9 months of it happening.
Yeah, I was there about a month
this
later.
This is more distant,
though. And it's heavy.
It's heavy.
Yeah,
I mean, you feel
it was. Yeah, right? Yeah. You were there.
But
this
is more distant, you know. And they made it into a museum and all that, you know. So you kind of go there, and it's a cultural thing, you know. But I mean, you can connect to it when you think about it. Being in that house for 3 years or so, and looking outside and seeing the world, and not being able to go out, you know. Mm. So it's an.
I think that doesn't even compare to just the abject fear of those fucking SS showing up. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Not so much not being able, I mean, sure, yes, I'm sure psychologically, and she's a young girl, and yes, being able to go outside, but just that abject fear of, you know, them having to not move, and then to ultimately, eventually be sold out. Oh,
yes, so, yeah.
That's somebody who's in hell.
Yeah. But the bravery there, you know, and the help they got from the people downstairs and
did
stuff.
Did they execute the family that hit them? Did they kill them? You would think they would have.
I don't know. I don't know if they have. But you know, their father survived, obviously. That's right. Why the diary was right. found. And
yes.
All that.
Yeah.
How long did he die?
He lived quite a few years after that. Yeah.
That's
which is
a,
almost its punishment, you know, in and of itself, ugh. Because you know, knowing what you've been through and everybody's gone, and it's just you. It's like, oh, just,
I mean, that's you know, it's funny. You mentioned
goddamn immigrants.
You mentioned Ground Zero. Yeah, if you were at Ground Zero any time within like a year of it happening, it was very. I was there that Thanksgiving. I was there about a month and a half later, and still 9 months later, it was still heavy. And you know, it's funny. I remember saying to somebody when I was there, and then that afternoon, I met my father and my brothers at a steakhouse, and you know, did that guy thing, got a bunch of steaks and beers and whatever.
Right.
And we were talking to the waitress. I said to the waitress something. I asked her if she had been, or the bartender, I asked her if she had been down to Ground Zero yet, and she goes, "No, I couldn't do it yet." And she goes, "How did you do it?" And I said, "Well, I said it was awful, and I cried for like 2 hours straight." I said, "But I felt it was like the least I could do.
Yeah.
It was like the very least I could
pay homage.
If all I got to do is cry and feel real shitty, compared to having either died or lost some, you know, I mean, I did lose people, but you know, and I know you lost a cousin, you know, and I didn't even lose a blood relative." But the thing is, though, is when I think about the other side, if I think about like going to, I don't know if I could handle. But then again, it's the least I would have. I could do. I wonder how I would be able to handle going to Auschwitz or Dachau. I mean, that's God. I mean, just could you fucking?
That's still got to be heavy there.
Unthinkable.
Would you ever go?
To see it, to visit.
Yeah.
Would
you walk out and punch a German right in the fucking face?
I don't know, but let me tell you this. Growing up in Israel, you were exposed to it all the time.
Good.
You know, I mean, they keep reminding you. So
they need to do that with 9/11. They need to do that with 9/11.
So it's not like
you
have to go there. You know, it's enough to see all the images and all that shit.
A lot of survivors have. Did you know a lot of survivors growing up?
No, but I remember when I was a kid, there were a lot of people walking around with those numbers
tattoos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even I've seen tattoos in the bunch of delis and stuff in New York.
Yeah,
Did
someone
over the counter?
Yeah, I've seen that too. Actually, I've seen that at Jerry's.
It's
Someone goes to hand me my sandwiches, and you just see it, it's like, oh,
it's that tip. Is one of the
extra
all
tip.
Time
extra tip it, right there, man.
That's one of the all time wow fucking things to actually see a fucking tattoo of a fucking. Concentration. Oh, my God. That's unbelievable. Well, hey, it's Sam and Susie DeBorn. Sorry, Susie's not here to talk about her vagina exploits and her cocksucking, but we'll be back a little bit later to talk a little bit more about death and destruction and terrorism and Nazi death camps. We say what we want. We're irreverent and a downer here. It's 2 minutes to go, and hey!
Definitely some serious topics here, but we still laughed a lot.
Absolutely. It's good stuff.
Awesome.
We make you laugh, we make you think.
Yes. So, TJ, you're not going to be on today, and Johnny, you're not going to be on today, but you guys will be back tomorrow.
Yes. Back tomorrow, and then God knows, obviously Monday, no. Monday, I'm having a baby.
No. Your wife's having the baby. your work was done nine months ago.
I'm just going to be a correspondent. Yeah.
I want to see your ass in that chair when I get here.
All right, guys. Have a good one, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
Listening to Sam and Susie in the Morning, which airs every weekday at 9 a.m. Pacific. To contact the show, please email your question or comment to sam@latalkradio.com or susie@latalkradio.com. A complete list of all past shows can be found on our archives page and on iTunes. For sponsorship or advertising information, email us at info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Susie in the Morning is a presentation of LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.